Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Central Mountains Baptist Church, and let's open our Bibles together as we read the Word of God and also as we study it this morning. We have two verses to study this morning, brothers and sisters, in addition, of course, to the many cross-references that we're going to have, but we are in Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. We are on this journey together studying through the Gospel of Matthew, and we praise the Lord for the many lessons we have learned, especially from this chapter, about the kingdom of God. And here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was using parables. Parables wherein He's going to teach us specific things about the kingdom of God through these short stories, earthly stories, which have meaning. Heavenly, eternal meaning. So here's Matthew chapter 13, verses 51 and 52. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to Him, "Yes, Lord." Then He said to them, "Therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." You know, in the Philippines, my brothers and sisters, there are things that we keep and store and only use when visitors come. Do you do that too here in Australia? We have a big cabinet, I remember, in our home there in the Philippines, where it's glass and you can see through it. And in there, you see all of these precious plates and bowls. You're not supposed to use it the daily thing. No. We only use them when there's a party or it's a birthday celebration. Then you open that. And then you take out those precious plates that we serve and we use for guests and visitors. And then after that, we wash them and dry them and store them back again. For decoration for us, but for visitors, for guests, they are for their use. I don't know if you do that here, but we do that so much there. So when we have parties, we use that. We also use, of course, some new ones that we buy. Because as you would know, sometimes when kids are around, they break them. And of course, to the sadness of the adults, like, "You broke the precious bowl. You broke the precious plate." You know, old treasures, new treasures being used for such gatherings. Why did I tell you that this morning? Because we're going to talk about old and new treasures. Here in the very Word of God, we see the Lord Jesus Christ talk about it in relationship to the kingdom of God. We have 2 points this morning, dear beloved, as we dive into the Scriptures. First, the question Jesus asked, and the second is the parable that Jesus taught. The question that Jesus asked and the parable that Jesus taught. First point here in verse 51, Jesus said to His disciples, "Have you understood all these things?" He asked. That's the question that Jesus asks His disciple. That word "understood" there, please highlight that, because that word is crucial in this question. And literally it means to put things together. To put things together. It carries the idea, according to the lexicon, to understand, to comprehend, to perceive. To put together or to join facts or ideas into a comprehensive interlocking whole as to arrive at a summary or final understanding. That's what the word "understood" there means. I used the word "synthesize" a while ago, and that is a good synonym for that word. Synthesize. In the New Testament, this word "understood" is consistently portrays a level of perception deeper than mere information gathering. It is spiritual insight granted or withheld by God and verified by obedient response. So in other words, dearly beloved, when Jesus Christ asked His disciples, "Have you understood all these things?" He is asking, do you now understand what the kingdom of God is and how it operates? Because that's the context here. It's about the kingdom of God. The parables that we have learned these past Sundays, these teachings are about the kingdom of God. And so Jesus Christ pauses and he asks, do you now truly understand what the kingdom of God is? How it operates? Do you now comprehend that it starts really small? Really small, and it will continue to grow. Do you perceive that the kingdom of God is so precious that a man will give up everything he has just to attain, just to achieve or to possess the kingdom of God? Do you understand that someday the Lord Jesus Christ will separate the real kingdom citizens from those who are fake Christians? There will come a time that with the aid of his angels, he will come and truly declare, this is my people. You don't belong to the kingdom of God. And those who are of the kingdom of God will enjoy eternal joy with God forever and ever. And those who are not really belonging to the kingdom of God will go to that place of torment, hell, where there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Are you able to synthesize these things and arrive at a full understanding about the kingdom of God? Wow, what a question. What a loaded question that was. It looks so simple, right? Have you understood all these things? But dearly beloved, it carries a very important point. That is not just mere information, Jesus Christ is saying to these disciples. That's important. It's not just you memorize all of these things, and those are good things. But you must go deeper. You must understand. What was the response? Look at verse 51. The end of verse 51. They said to him what? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Affirmative. Positive. We understand, Lord. I believe, dearly beloved, that during this time, Jesus accepted their answer as a genuine one. Or else, he would not have gone to the next point that he has here, teaching him or them a parable concerning those who understand what he taught them. But of course, as you look forward into the chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, even at the different Gospels, we understand the reality. Look into their words, the disciples' words, look at their actions, their responses in the months to come, even leading towards the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can conclude that their understanding was not really that perfect, was it? It wasn't that perfect. In fact, they failed at some points. Maybe some of you can argue many points, Pastor. They have failed in many points. Peter, for example, objected to the Lord's crucifixion. In chapter 16, James and John's mother requested for a position for them. One son to the right, one son to the left. That's not the concept of the kingdom of God. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, Peter. Remember Peter? He denied the Lord not just once, not just twice, three times. And all the disciples ran away when Christ was arrested in Gethsemane. Now, does that outline to you that they fully understood the concept of the kingdom of God? No, dearly beloved. So here's a few lessons that we can learn from this interaction between Jesus and his disciples. First is this, understanding, comprehending, synthesizing truths like this about the kingdom of God is commanded. Matthew 15, we will go to that later on, Matthew 15, 10. Uses the word there, also the same word there as well. Then he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. It's a command to understand. That's the human responsibility there. You need to read, you need to study so that you can understand. But also, it is bestowed by God. In Luke 24:45, we understand that understanding also is something that God gives to a kingdom citizen. And scripture holds this tension. The call to seek wisdom and the necessity of divine illumination. They go together. They go together. So yes, as we reflect on this question of Jesus, and if we ask ourselves this, we must understand that yes, I have a responsibility. But God also bestows understanding upon us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we should ask. If any man lacks wisdom, says the word of God, let him what? Ask. Let him ask. So that's the first thing. How are we doing at that point, brothers and sisters? How are you doing in this point? How's your relationship with the Word of God? How do you engage with the Word of God? Do you have specific times with the Word of God and during the day, during the week? Do you allocate time to just sit down and read and study and understand the Word of God? And do you also pray in your prayers, Lord, give me understanding, give me wisdom, because I can never understand this without your help. The natural man does not understand the Word of God. Only the spiritual man, only through the work of the Spirit. But the second thing we can understand from this interaction between Jesus and the disciples is this. We don't need to pretend that we understand everything. Because God knows already we do not understand everything. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13, if you'd open there, dearly beloved, this great chapter, the great love chapter of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 12 tells us this. For now, Paul says, he was writing this letter to the Corinthian believers. He says, now we see in a mirror, dimly. But then, face to face, now I know in part. But then, someday, I shall know just as I also am known. So you see, that's the reality. And Paul acknowledges that today. Now we see dimly. We see a bit. We see a portion of it. And praise the Lord, as God reveals things to us, we are able to see more and more. But we see in a mirror dimly. Someday we will learn fully. But dearly beloved, here's my point on this second one. God will still hold us accountable with what we have, with what we understand, with what we comprehend, with what we synthesize. We are going to be judged with what we will do with that. So that's a good, fair question this morning. What are you doing with what you understand with the Word of God? Dearly beloved, I love it that you'd come, that we would come to church every Sunday here. We go to the prayer meeting, we learn the Word of God there too, the Bible studies, in the Sunday school. Wonderful, it's beautiful, and it's lovely to gather and to learn. But listen, our aim is not just to show up. Our aim is not just to listen there and just, you know, oh, I'm learning verses, I'm learning the Greek, I'm learning the Hebrew. But here's the end point. Am I really able to synthesize this and apply this in my life for the glory of God? Are you seeing your life? Am I seeing my life changing? Because I'm still the same guy, the same woman I was. I'm not growing. There's a disconnect, dearly beloved. Maybe we're after information, we're after facts, and that's good. That's a good first start. But let's go to my heart. And in relationship with this, here's a good question. Am I becoming more of a lover of the Word of God? Maybe years ago, I don't find it lovely to read. I hate it. It's boring. But now, Pastor, thank the Lord, twice a week. And you're seeing it getting improvements there. Maybe next year or next this coming month, I'll have more time. And I enjoy it. I'm learning. I'm really understanding it compared to before. Are there changes in your choices? In your lifestyle? In your habits? In your priorities? Are they rearranged? Because of the Word of God that guides our thinking. That's the goal, dearly beloved. That we are changing from glory to glory. Not just getting big heads. Not just getting very thick journals and in sermon notes. But do they translate to a life that is changed? Remember Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, we love verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. We love that and we know that. But we miss verse 10. Don't miss verse 10. It's important because now that you're saved by God's grace through faith, not of ourselves, what happens? We are workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, when we are saved here at this point, God expects us by His work and through the study of the Word of God, as we apply it in our lives, there's changes that will happen. We are getting better in good works. Are we? Are we? The goal of studying the Word of God, of understanding the Word of God, is not just habit change, but start with heart change. Heart change that will result to a life that's changed. And here's the third lesson that we can deduce from this interaction of Jesus with His disciples. If we stumble, and we know we do at times. I know I do. I stumble. Like the disciples did. But oh, dearly beloved, we thank the Lord that there is available amazing, wonderful, sufficient grace for you and me. So when you see yourself stumbling and you fall, there's always a hand, the hand of God lifting us. And telling us, stand up, my child. Begin anew. Press on toward the high calling. Don't give up. Don't give up. Press on. So that our understanding continues to grow. I don't know where you are at, dearly beloved, in this specific aspect of your lives. But I hope this is a wonderful challenge for you. Nobody is done growing. In the Word of God. Whether you're 80 or 18. No. No. I once visited an old woman in my hometown in Iloilo City. She's around 86 years old. She can't go to church anymore because she's very frail. She's very weak. She's mostly in bed. And so I went there together with a few of our deacons and we sat down, we talked. And I asked her, what's keeping you busy? What's keeping you busy? Oh, pastor. He leaned towards, I read, of course, my Bible every day and I read this other book. I think one of the books of Eliot, Elizabeth Eliot. And I pray for you, pray for the church. And she showed me where she is at in her reading. And she said this, pastor, I don't want to go home to glory telling the Lord I stopped growing. 86 years old. Still growing. She's now home with the Lord. And I'm sure she's still growing as well, still there in the knowledge of God. Dearly beloved, if an 86-year-old can say that, I'm sure some of us here, it's not even half of that. We have a lot of things to do, to work on. Do you understand all these things? The question Jesus asked. Let's go to the second point. The parable Jesus taught. Verse 52. Then he said to them, after responding to Jesus' question with a yes, he said to them this, therefore, you have said yes, you have said that you understand. Therefore, Christ says, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Remember my story, the very beginning of this sermon? You're like a householder. You're the owner of the house. Where you use two different things, the old plates are still there, displayed, and the new things that you buy, you use them, those treasures. Of course, we're not just talking about plates here, dearly beloved. We're not talking about bowls here, okay, or utensils. Using this parable, Jesus was telling his disciples what they are like in lieu of the kingdom of God. That's a big picture here. They are, as Jesus Christ tells us here, like those who understand his teaching about the kingdom. He describes them like as scribes. scribe there is the Greek word grammateus. Grammateus, grammar, where we get the word grammar too. Literally, it means a writer. I did some research about what scribes are. One author said this, in the first century world, the title scribe covered a range of responsibilities. They copy scriptures, they safeguard legal documents to teaching Torah and advising the Sanhedrin, which is the legal component of their community. In the Gospels and Acts, the term scribe appears 64 times, usually describing a distinct theological party that often aligns with Pharisees and chief priests, yet occasionally standing alone or appearing in civic contexts. Also, I've learned that they were also referred to as teachers of the law. That's another title that they have. Or they also called even lawyers. They were the public religious teachers of the people. They were very influential people. Some of them were also members of the Sanhedrin. They were acknowledged as the experts of the Old Testament and the Jewish traditions. If you want to know the Old Testament, this is the people that you want to go to, the scribes. They can quote them to you by memory, verbatim. And they were also students, preachers, theologians, biblical scholars, interpreter, and transmitter of the scriptures. They were very disciplined and meticulous in this line of work that they have. So Jesus Christ says this, the same as the scribes, his disciples will also be trained. And they were trained by Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They learned from Jesus. They ate with Jesus. Jesus really spent time with them. He discipled them in the discipline of knowing and understanding and transmitting the message of the kingdom of God. That's why a big chunk of the Gospels we see Jesus teaching. Not only the crowd, but his disciples. Jesus tells his disciple here further that they are like a householder. Or in our common English today, owner of a house. They're like the owner of a house. What does the owner of the house do? He brings out of his treasure things new and old. So that he can use both in the context that it's going to be used for. That word, those words, brings out, is the Greek word that means to cast out, to drive out, to send out, or to expel. That's the meaning of brings out. It's the same verb that energizes the sending out of missionaries. Of missionaries into the mission field, reminding the church that evangelism is spirit-driven, not merely voluntarism. That's the word, brings out. Now, in this context, dearly beloved, it connotes generosity and giving out. Generosity and giving out. So we can ask this morning, what are they supposed to give out? What are they supposed to cast out? To drive out, to send out, to expel. Well, the word of God tells us here, Jesus says, his treasure, things new and old. What do you think are these treasures, things new and old? In relationship to the ministry of the disciples, where they're commissioned by God in Matthew chapter 28, you remember that? When Jesus Christ says, as you're going, you go and you make disciples of all nations. What are the treasures that's in relationship to their ministry? It is the treasure of the Word of God. Some theologians would say specifically it's the gospel. Some theologians would say the old treasure refers to the Old Testament. Well, the new treasures would refer to the new covenant, the new testament, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Whether you are in that kind of position, very strictly on that, we understand that the entire canon of the scripture we have already discussed, even from the former parables, that this is precious. The word of God, the revelation of God is precious. The disciples knew the old covenant. They have been reading that. They know the Old Testament. And Jesus taught them the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ is telling them here, you're not just going to use the old or exclusively or just the new exclusively. No, a householder, the owner of the house knows the best thing to do is to use both. Pull out their treasures, both old and new, and cast them out into the world. Spurgeon said, he is not weary of the old. A kingdom citizen is not weary of the old. And he is also not afraid of the new. He knows how to take them both together and synthesize them and use them for the glory of God. So church, the main idea is that the disciples who had just claimed to understand what Jesus taught are now responsible to bring forth their understanding to others. Expel it. Share it generously. Bring it out as if they were distributing from the storehouse of their wisdom and understanding. And their storehouse, Jesus Christ says, contains both new and old. Dearly beloved, I've been talking about this because of the relationship of this to our topic. But there are those out there who preaches that Christians today must get unhitched from the Old Testament. Have you heard of that? False teaching? That, oh, no, no, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. You know, you should unhitch because there's a lot of like, oh, really? Kind of like bad things there. And if you teach that to the people of today, they'll be offended. So don't teach the Old Testament. Just focus on the New Testament. Just the gospel. But wait a minute, brothers and sisters. How will you need the gospel? How will you need Jesus Christ, a savior, to come down from heaven to earth if you don't know what happened in the old covenant? Why would the people of today need a savior if they don't know that in the beginning there, in Genesis, we are told that God created the world perfectly, but because of one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. That's the problem if we don't use the old and the new. We need to use both the old and the new. The entire scripture is relevant for today, not just the New Testament. The old and the new treasures must be used. God did not just teach us the old. He also gave us the new. So as we are going, God commands us to teach all nations the whole treasure chest of God. That's why we read in Psalm 19 these words, dearly beloved. We have finished studying this in our Sunday school this morning. Psalm 19, verses 7, all the way down to verse 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. All these three verses testify about the scriptures, about the word of God. It uses different terms for it. Like in 7, the law of the Lord, testimony of the Lord, and 8, statutes of the Lord, and then commandment of the Lord, 9, the fear of the Lord, and the judgment of the Lord. All these phrases point to the scriptures. And further, the word of God tells us, they are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. One author says, the Bible then, according to the psalmist, is the greatest treasure, more precious than gold. Then David continues, it is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The Bible is the greatest pleasure. We know we love honey. We want to eat a lot of it, but careful with your blood sugar level. But it's the greatest pleasure when you read it. It brings joy into your heart. to dig into the truth of the Word of God, to discover all of things that you will not discover by your own self. And as the Holy Spirit illuminates your mind into the Word of God, wow. Have you experienced that, dearly beloved? Or is it like, always, I don't understand this. It's like a chore to you. Oh, dearly beloved, I hope you will come to a point with a relationship with the Word of God where you can say truly, this is sweeter than honey. It's sweeter than honey. Then David continues, moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. The Bible is the greatest keeper. Also in verses 12 to 13, David says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. According to David here in verses 12 to 13, the Bible is the greatest cleanser. Greatest cleanser. Remember during the COVID pandemic? Everywhere in our house, there's like all of this hand sanitizer. I remember in the Philippines, even when I go out to do groceries, I come home, take off my shoes, put it outside, then put the groceries on the door there. Don't bring it to the kitchen yet because I need to cleanse it. Take a wipe, then wipe every single item because we were told, like, you know, you need to be careful. And you go into the house, you go straight to the toilet and take off your clothes and incinerate your clothes, you know? Because you think you're carrying some disease and then you shower before somebody, don't touch me from the outside, you know? And you have all of this, you're laughing, but it seems like it's forever. It's been forever, but it's only a few years ago. And we hold on, we have sanitizer in our pockets, on our back pockets, on our bags, right? You don't carry them anymore. Times have changed. And we believe that this can cleanse our protect our hands from germs or bacteria or for whatever. But do you know what is the most powerful cleanser of all? It's the Word of God. When you open it and study it, it will keep back us servants from presumptuous sins and cleanse us from secret faults and understand our errors. But verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Bible is the greatest redeemer. Redeems us from sin. Redeems us from ourselves. Redeems us from habits that do not glorify the Lord. Oh, dearly beloved, how well do you know the old and the new treasures of God? Do you even consider this a treasure? Do you really consider this as a treasure of God? So the challenge here, dearly beloved, start with the basics. If you want to really expel this and tell the world about this, we need to read it. Read it, dearly beloved. Spend time with it. Don't let a lot of things take away your time with the Word of God. Pick a time of the day where it's best for you to sit down and read it quietly. Maybe it demands sometimes that you need to wake up earlier than the rest of the people in your house. Because you know when they wake up, it's chaos. Right? So maybe 10 minutes before they wake up, you wake up and spend time with the Word of God. Read. Meditate. That's what the blessed man does. He meditates upon it day and night. And not just read. Have a plan to read. And even challenge, dearly beloved, read through the Bible. If we really believe the old and the new are treasures, then there is a really good advantage of reading from cover to cover. Now, there are different plans. You can do it in a year. You can do it in 2 years. You can do it in 6 months. But have a plan. But not just read, but actually study. It's amazing to me that we study things from uni, for example, from our day, for example, from different things. We study it intricately and meticulously. We memorize things. We take down notes and we synthesize information and we try how did we come about with this product when we have these elements here. But with the Word of God, just read it. That's why I don't understand it, but study as you would study other things as well. Study to show thyself approved unto God, says Paul to Timothy. And that is not just for a pastor, because he was writing to a young pastor, but that's for every one of us. So that we will not be ashamed as workmen. To the challenge here, yes, read and study and meditate. But always, Lord, help me apply your word. Even today, dearly beloved, you have heard now the basics of our relationship with the word. What are you going to do this week to change your habits in your life? Oh, please, brothers and sisters, don't let just come into one ear and then leave on the other ear. Please, that you're sitting down there, and that's we're going to sing our last hymn this morning. Ask the Lord to empower you, Lord. How can I be a good house owner and take the old and the new treasures that you have given me and expel them to the word, to the world? Lord, I'll start with me. I'll start with my Bible. I'll start today. I'll start reading, studying, meditating, and applying. Whether you're 80 or 18. And may these ancient words of the Lord find place in our hearts where it will grow and bear fruit. Brothers and sisters, what will you do today in response to this parable? Father, thank you so much for your word. That's very plain, very simple. And yet, Lord, these are the very reminders we need today. There seems to be a lot of things that takes us away from your word. And sometimes, Lord, since we've been doing this for many years, it seems okay to just have that kind of a habit. But Lord, no more. No more, Lord. Help us to truly take your word, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Apply it. And declare it to the world. Lord, help us to reflect through our lives how we truly value this treasure you have given to us. May we start today by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.